Anita Baker.
Just because. Hey, folks, welcome. You know it's that time for the Soul Savvy Show right here on Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network. Every Thursday here on The Buzz, you can check us out at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7 o'clock on the East, and 6 o'clock Central. And welcome to stars, the host of the show, E.B. and Whitney. How are you?
Oh, good.
You know what? We're good.
This is why I know when I come in like this, the way I'm feeling right now is valid. You better do that intro over again. You better do the intro over with. Do it over.
Right. Okay. You know, because I'm being forced.
Welcome to Soul Savage Radio, y'all.
Soul Savage Radio Show.
with
the star host, the beautiful, lovely Q Lynn Green.
Yeah. Q Lynn Swangin.
Listen. No, go ahead with your intro. Do the intro over again,
because
I got to do something. Do the intro over
with. What do you want me to start? You want me to start with the beautiful, the lovely, the gorgeous, the talented Q Lynn Green, the main host of the show, along with E.B. and Whitney. I'm just hanging out here on the West Coast. I'm your engineer. I'm Will.
That is not what I said. Introduce me in the intro, and you still see this is what I be saying, y'all. I'm on vacation for 2 weeks. Turn my phone off. I knew when I told them I was gonna have my phone off that the straight up slander and defamation was gonna take place. I just knew it.
You know what?
I don't know if you were listening to Q Lynn. We just gave you the highest compliment.
I heard both of the audio. Yeah. Okay, I heard both.
Last week, I think we were just all saying how fortunate we are to be doing a show with someone who is the
listen. Don't try to butter me up because I heard it. I was sitting there listening
before. The week before, I mean, we were missing you. That's what it was.
Yeah.
We were missed.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's exactly.
Yeah.
First off, okay. Before we get to the savvy update. The topic we talk about now is vacation. I was going to do this in Savvy Updates, but I was like, why not make a topic of it? Welcome to the Soul Savage Radio Show. The reason why is how I feel. If y'all heard the past two shows, I'm getting ready to upload them. Like I said, I'm in vacation mode, so I ain't got out of that mode yet. I'll be out of it later tonight. When I gotta go back to work.
Tonight.
But I got all the audios. If y'all were listening live, on the IMG2 app or on the Studio Buzz website, you heard the debauchery, if you are on my side, of the clear, blatant favoritism of the engineer. You know, they let him talk, let him yap for 2 hours with him, and let him go over time. I saw all the, said 2 hours and 16 minutes. I wasn't even all the way over. He'll text me during the show like 5 minutes before. And I checked him the 1 week, and I was like, we got the same time? And he's like, yeah. So he just wanted me off the show because I wasn't letting him talk. And so I already peeped the scandalous nature of our engineer. I already peeped it. But it was very clear the last two shows that y'all let him yap, and he let y'all stay on for over 15 minutes after the show.
Are you saying that Will used us?
No, he buddying up to y'all. That's what he did in the favoritism show.
No, it wasn't that, Q Lynn. Okay, let me explain. Mr. Melody wasn't coming in last week. That's what happened. It was the week that Mr. Melody wasn't coming in. Now, he starts at 6 o'clock. So, in all fairness, I like for him to get on time. So, that's the only reason why I text you and says, okay, 5 minutes to go, 4 minutes to go, or whatever
it is. We still on 5 minutes. What you talking about? Listen here. I'm not up for this. We about to get right to it. First off, I want to denounce every single thing that came out of Mr. E.B. for president's mouth. Clearly, you know. First off, the first week of the show, I thought it was cute. I was like, oh, that's cute. You know, throwing little jokes up there. Oh, first I thought he said I did drugs. I was kind of like, okay, that's not that bad. I was like, all right, whatever.
What? No.
And then, he kept on it in there, and it didn't have nothing related to what y'all was talking about. Like, y'all was doing a listener question. He's like, doing, selling drugs like you. I was like, what? I was like, all right, I'll still let it go. And then at the end of the show, when y'all was doing the savvy, he started, I heard Will say I was swinging and swinging. First off, he was making a, he said I was swinging as a sexual, reference.
No.
That's what he said I was swinging because I was,
because
I was kind of taken out here, so he said that was why he said.
No. I said you were slinging and swinging.
Right, swinging. And I was like, wait, what information did I tell in the story? Because I was like, it was kind of a situation that happened. I was like, wait, hold on, where did you get this information from? But then I was like, oh, he's talking about the whole kind of taking thing. Put my business out there. But then the second week, I was going to let it go. I wasn't going to say nothing. I was just going to let it go. And I was like, oh, that's fun. Then I heard the second, I didn't even hear all of the first show. I just heard, when he sent me the second show, that's what I heard all of. And Mr. Easy, listen, well, my energy after I hearing that, I was feeling very, I already texted him, I told him I was feeling very, like, turned. Like, in the limo, taking off the boot, beating anime mood, that's where I was at with it. This was, like, the first week of five, but the whole second week, that was like 2 hours of slander. Like, I don't understand what was going on. I was like, at some point, they're going to move on and talk about the Raggedy News, Savvy News. Okay, y'all had a break and then started interviewing y'all guests. It was great. Two lovely guests. I was like, okay, that was great. Cool. Then y'all cut back after y'all come back from break. And then y'all keep going in on me. I was like, wait, hold on. This whole hypothetical situation. And then Whitney and Haley don't make any sense. Talking about, well, I was going to put some money down. I don't want to hear that.
We was trying to help. That like, dang.
Listen, I'm telling you now. I'm knocking on wood now. God forbid if I spend the night in jail. Guess what? Whatever they, I don't care what it is. You get keep all the sex. I'm gonna be starving in that motherfucker. If I eat nothing, I'm Gandhi. I have a Gandhi diet because I'm not eating nothing. So that whole hypothetical was passed because I ain't eat no oatmeal pies. I eat no sodium filled ramen noodles. Okay. I didn't make too much money to go back to that lifestyle. Okay, we not doing that. If anything, y'all better send me some ramen from a Thai restaurant. Don't send me no ramen noodles from out of Walmart or out of the convenience store or something.
Oh okay, yeah,
this is complete slander.
No,
and since y'all want to carry on with these falsehoods. Let me pull on this bait real quick before I get started. No, we about to end too.
Oh shoot,
we gonna get right to it. I was gonna give you time to. I was gonna know we gonna come out guns blazing. I'm feeling very Tony Montana-ish.
Okay. So the audience. No. Okay, Clem.
Call me EB. She's calling me EB for Prez. So I know something is in her spirit. She got to get it out.
Okay. I can understand it. But for clarity purposes, all right. Now, are you saying
for clarity purposes, I was going to add Whitney and Haley to this, but when I realized their casualties and the whole co-conspired of all of this, Will, you try to change your tune. You ain't slick, okay? I peeped everything. Okay, the first show, you was in with it with E.B. talking about, and she's probably stalking her boyfriend right now. And then E.B. go time and talk about, that sound like her. What? Talking somebody. What?
No. No, Q-Lane, you got it all wrong. You said live on air that you are all, like, whatever boyfriend you had, that you're almost loyal to them, right? That's what you said. You said almost loyal. And we just pointed out that fact.
That was the person I was with this, on that whole vacation trip. That's who I was with.
Oh.
If they had, listen, y'all put my personal business, out here. Listen, finish what you got to say so I can ensue. Go ahead.
Okay, And then, now, then the thing about it, well, what EB said now, okay, and you know, EB was left in charge, so we had to back him up, okay?
Wait, what?
Okay, you left EB in charge. So, EB said she's out there slinging that cocaine, right? I said, So I said, well, slinging and swinging. And so then last week said, oh man, we haven't heard from her in 2 weeks. Now who leaves their phone off for 2 weeks unless they're in prison? And so then we were talking about, so well, how are we going to raise some money to get you out? Now, I don't know, Whitney, did you come up with the idea about having a fish fry?
No, but I said I know where we could have it to get the most money back. That's what I said.
Okay.
That's why the situation could go in the trash, because y'all supposed to have been defending me. I'll talk about that.
Okay.
She was a woman of the cloth.
Okay, and then somebody. No, check this out.
None of that.
My plan the whole time was just to expose the fake people around you, Julian. See, I'm the only one who loves you.
Right.
That it starts right here. Right here.
Listen, Will ain't getting off the slick, because I heard everything from that first show. So we got the instance. Y'all got some falsehoods and allegations. I got my own falsehood allegations. First off, Evie hasn't been telling all the truth about what he was doing before he started EVPrePres.com. He hasn't been all the way honest. He had talked about his past life, sort of similar to Cardi B, but it's a little bit more on a downscale of a come up. He used to frequent at a local strip club in the Brooklyn area.
Oh, man.
He's an ex-stripper, male stripper.
His
stage name was, his stage name used to be Nickel Trick.
Nickel Trick
is that? I get you why he got the name. That's why he got the name, but his stripper name used to be Nickel Trick. And his theme music when he came out on stage used to be Lattimore's Let's Straighten It Out. And it was all 70s records. When he came out, he used to come out in Grandpa's Tidy Whitey's. That's what his outfit choice was. And he would get booed all the time by New York. Like, get off the stage, B! Because that he always came out to 70s R&B music. And they were like, nah, this ain't cracking. We can't get with this.
Wow.
Let's straighten it out.
Oh, my God.
He used to come out Tidy Whitey and get booed off the stage for dancing the 70s R&B song. They say that ain't popping.
Oh, boy.
Wait, what is he? He's called Nickel Trick because he dances, his dances are worth a nickel, his stripper moves. He partakes in, after the customers, if he can't get the amount of loose change that he wants, like they don't make it rain on him. They make
not
it hell.
Loose change, not loose change.
They make it hell on him. If they don't give him enough loose change, he has the customers to come in the back. To get reach around for him. To make $17 worth of rent.
Ooh!
That's rough.
Customers for loose change and reach around in the back rooms and the champagne rooms of the establishment. And then also, he just has all kind of side illegal activities, like, you know, he also be on the black market, you know, searching for stuff, and, you know, trying to help young women that want to further their career and don't want to be held back with babies. So he went to the black market and then purchased illegal, Plan B pills for Chinese men. The Chinese man, look, we got all color, we got blue pill, we got a pepper pill, we got, we got all kind of pill.
Oh, damn.
All kinds of pill.
Oh my God.
That's what you should get from it. And he says, no charge. You get extra pills, he's like, no charge. No, no, no.
Oh my God.
We got the blue pill, we got the purple pill, we got the red pill, they're coming on post.
Oh,
what
shit.
What you used question. To do?
Oh my God.
I gotta ask you a question first, Ewing. What Go did ahead. New Yorkers say when I would come out to Lattimore? How would they boo me? What would they say?
Get off the stage, me! Get out of here with that! Get out of here with those tiny lighties, right, dog! Get out of here, B.
Oh my
they,
God.
They don't trust their Timbo tell them. They take the Timbo and like, get out
not
of here!
The Tim. Not the Tim! Not the Tim!
Not the Tim! Tim!
Damn.
And then also, we got Will Brown. You know, he's the owner of the Studio Buzz, network, all these things going on. But also, he runs a gambling ring like in Harlem Nights in the side rooms of the studio.
Oh,
and
my God.
And he makes his radio colleagues come in and his church members come in and reenact the Harlem Nights movie.
I think it's time for a break. Isn't it time for a break?
We're going to come back and do the stuff to have the updates. But yes, I'm getting all y'all. Andy Shell's illegal Pinot Grigio cases outside the make rent as well.
Oh, damn.
The side hustle inside the Studio Buzz studio. Listen, y'all, I came out good places. I told y'all, man.
Oh, my God.
I told y'all before I left. Don't y'all start. And now we can move on with the show. And when we come back, we'll be back with the savvy update.
Oh, you let Whitney and Haley and Helen off. Why is that?
Yes, even though Haley didn't defend me at all, and she only got flustered because
Whitney was the only one we got to do. I'm gonna be honest. Whitney was the only one.
No way! I came up with the dinner. That was my idea.
Okay.
She said she don't like no damn.
She said she didn't want that.
Okay,
but you know what?
We're
not gonna deviate. Listen, it deviates from the point because all this energy is directed towards Will and EB. Okay.
Oh, I see. I see.
I hope y'all.
Okay. See, EB, I told you, us bros got
to
stick together.
Those Plan B pills, they bought some of Will's Plan B pills, and that's why Tim and Whitney don't go together. That was number one.
No, he did it.
I would say y'all bought Plan B pills from EB.
Oh, my God.
That's going to be my joke.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, with that, though.
Yes, y'all get up for Nickel Trick.
We ain't gonna give it up. We ain't giving it up.
Listen, we're gonna go to break and we're gonna do the savvy updates and then we go transition into 6 minutes of rage.
Oh my
so
goodness.
We go to break.
I'm not sure about
submerge till we become discerned. Hey, and welcome back. You are listening to the Soul 70 Show every Thursday here on Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network, and back to UQ Land. The lovely, wonderful
I just want to say I'm not responsible for the kids if y'all feel like having grown-up activities time after hearing.
I was about to say, when Q-Lin sent me the songs, they was real lusty. So I felt like I had to...
Oh, yeah, that was the vibe, the whole vacation trip. That's what we listened to.
Real lusty.
He pulled everything. It was like, I was playing it out in front of everybody, Bluetooth speaker, and everybody was into it.
I didn't even know they allowed Bluetooth speakers in prison. That's, wow.
See?
Okay, Nicholson. See?
Okay, Nicholson. Listen here. Come on, do the back up. We can do this. I've been waiting on this.
Man, wait.
Oh, my God.
Listen. I was on vacation in Santa Barbara.
Oh, you was on vacation with your man. You was playing the...
Listen, it was a group trip, okay? It wasn't just a couple's trip. It was with no, you know, just a romantic. It was two other people there, okay?
But you was with your man, right?
Oh, my God. Listen, I was with somebody, okay? I was with a man. I was with him.
Yeah.
Listen, quit putting my personal business out there on the way airways,
man. We already know that you're almost loyal.
I'm an eligible girlfriend, okay? Quit telling all my business out here.
Yeah, what? If you need one of my if you need one of my black market pills, hit me up.
Nah. Oh, okay. Listen, I don't wanna end up with, one of my lungs collapsing.
Oh.
Just eat one of your pills.
Oh,
that's also added to, one of his stories that he's also, getting all kind of, liable suits
and
stuff.
I'm like,
know,
what,
from
Conrad
pills,
Murray?
You know, from collapse, yes. Collapsing lungs and, you know,
wow.
And colostomy bags after, you know, and colostomy bag after one of EB's pills. So he's still not fighting that, you know, he's got a little hush-hush money he got to pay to the victims of his Plan B, black market Plan B pill. Listen.
In disrespect.
It was, like I was saying, listen here, man, I told you I was going to come in again, Blaze, okay? I've been waiting for this. I told you I've been waiting all show for one of us to go back and forth. So, a fun time. Y'all, I actually enjoyed it. I actually was going to come back from the vacation trip and say, you know, it was great shows. Yeah, it flowed. Y'all were amazing. I also didn't know y'all were interviewing Raheem Devon. I was like, I just opened my app. I was like, oh, wow, that's interesting.
Well, we didn't know until the day before. So, I mean, you with us, you were surprised like we was. I just gotta say though, when I told I'm not gonna name names, but when I told our co-host Q Lynn that we were interviewing Raheem Devon, she was very excited.
What? See, there's an allegation and fabrication.
Wait. Oh, okay, EB.
He's saying that because the week there before I said that I didn't care for his album.
No, no way. But that was like, that was the ironic thing. So I'll tell you how it happened. My sister's been busy, like, so busy it's been crazy, and I've been busy.
I know, I was going to have her on the show tonight. I don't think she saw my message, because we were going to talk about vacation. I was talking about her article.
We haven't talked, and she literally hit me up, like, and she didn't even call me. She sent me an email. That's how I know we're busy. She sent me an email. It's like, yo, do you want to interview Raheem Devon? But it has to be today or tomorrow. And I was like, he can just come on the show. Like, I don't, you know. And I was laughing because I was like, wow, last week Q-Lin just said she doesn't care for Raheem Devon.
I'm glad y'all interviewed him. I'm glad they got him.
Raheem, me and Whitney love you.
Listen, don't you even got to add it in there like that, okay? You ain't gotta add me in that, okay? Just say it was a great interview, and we can move on. What is it? What's the name of the album? Love King, something with love in it. Is that what I didn't hear off the interview?
Love King. Damn, didn't even care enough to listen to the full interview.
Wow.
I was just seeing how long it was. I haven't had time to listen to it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I was just asking, I know it got something love in it. Love King is something in it.
It's like the Love King. what is it, Whitney? The Love King Returns or Return of the Love King?
I thought it was Decade of a Love King.
Oh, the Decade.
Dang, now y'all got me. Like,
I'm sorry. Decade of a Love King. That is it. Raheem Devon. Decade of a Love King. Raheem, we are giving you promo here on the Soul Savages show. Please come back. Send more people. We love you.
I'll be sure to be booked off somewhere. Okay, we move on. What else you said? No,
wow.
I didn't say nothing.
Wow. Okay, but look. While you were gone, though, I felt the pressure. I understood.
Right.
You didn't leave me in charge.
He was in charge of the girls.
Yeah, right, like Della Reese. Like, I am in charge of the girls.
I'm sorry, y'all. Everything's funny to me.
So I was just like, yo, I didn't realize. So I'm terrible at planning stuff. I'm terrible at, like, sending stuff. So I was like, oh, I have to send them, like, a show rundown, like, times and songs and topics. I'm not used to that. I don't,
Yeah, man, that's why I went. That's why we turned it. And then the Pino Grigio Will, I know he interrupted y'all about it, because I know the first 6 minutes of rage I heard, it was turning to 57 minutes, because that's all I heard.
But wait.
How's it like working with Will when you're trying to conduct a show? How is it like that? That's a good question.
That first week, it was a really good 6 minutes of rage, so we had a lot to talk about, because we had been gone for a week. While you did the live show in Oklahoma City.
Oh, yeah, that's the part of Savvy Updates, too. I got a whole list.
So we had to talk about that. The second week, we didn't even get to talk about the 6 minutes of rage because our guests, unbeknownst to me, like, they were supposed to come on an hour into the show. They texted me 45 minutes into the show and said they had been waiting online for an hour just listening. So I was just like, oh, okay, well, we're going to go to that as soon as 6 minutes of rage is done, and we never got back to it.
Oh, man. I know, right? Because you didn't, that's why I'd be like, that's why I was telling you. I was like, it's hard work to do that because sometimes I'd be forgetting. You remember when I had Cookie on? I forgot we were talking for like 10 minutes. And you're like, oh, I'm on the line. And that was before all the updates happened to the conference line.
No,
it definitely improved, and I definitely had to message them a lot and tell them to update the stuff on there. So I think I take credit for this.
It was great. And also, while you were gone, we got to answer a lot of listener emails, which was great.
I heard from the second one, but I didn't hear all the first
one.
Did you hear from Nick at 1982 at yahoo.com?
I knew it was coming.
I didn't hear it, but I just scammed through it whenever I sent you the email. I was like, oh, yeah. And that's another thing, reason why I was so mad about the debauchery, because I had something that was worse than that. And I deleted all those and put them in spam because I was like, I ain't gonna do you like that. I was like, but you know what? After that week, I had that spirit on me that I turned the spirit. I was like, you know what? I should have just sent them anyway. I need to pull them up from the trash.
I appreciate it, honestly. And I know, Nikki Glam, I'll be throwing you out there, but it's all love. Like, I appreciate that you're crazy and that you wanted to challenge me on Beyonce. And if you write back, I would love for you to write back.
I was trying to remember what show that was. What was that? Problematic Artist, the one that's on the website? I'm trying to remember which show that was. Was it the one Helen was on?
Yeah, Helen was on. Because we were talking about Coachella when Helen was on.
I think that's the one.
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, yeah, that's when you were like, that's what I was telling you. I was like, man, you better know. I was like, that's what I was telling you to watch it, because people listening, that's when they was going to clock you on that. They were like, see, that's why you be hating, because you didn't
But like I told them, like, I don't like ramen noodles. I like filet mignon. I'm not going to eat Coachella. Like, no,
hilarious.
Give me a good Earth, Wind & Fire, Layla Hathaway, you know, something with substance. I don't want microwavable, I mean, you know.
That's what I was telling you, man. All right, man, you gonna keep on, man.
I told you that day.
I was like, man, you should have watched it because you about to get all these emails. And I deleted. It was a lot of them too that was against you. That's why I was deleting them, because they was kind of nasty with it. I was like, all right, y'all too grown for this.
Wow, looking out for me.
I know some of y'all put y'all birth date on the emails, because I'm like, ain't no reason for you to put like 1983 and 82 unless that's the year you born. So
wait, they put the
ages.
What?
No, I said when they send their email, when some of these people send their emails, they put their birth date in the email. And I was like, if that's your birth date, then y'all too old to be standing like this.
So let me address that real quick, real quick. I'm a person that believes, I don't believe in, you know, age has any sway on musical influence. Like, I am younger than a lot of people who listen. And I know music from before your grandparents were born. Like, I know music and appreciate and listen to music. My playlists are full of, like, Solomon Burke, Aretha Franklin, Betty Swan, like, that kind of music. And then I got some Billie Holiday on there. Like, so I don't believe in the whole, oh, because I'm older, I know more. No, I think we all can and should know the same things if we want to. That's my little two cents on it. Y'all don't have to put y'all birth here. Right. We know y'all old and decrepit.
I got to fish out.
If y'all want the sound.
Man, you're wild. Okay, we're going to do the savvy updates, and then after we do savvy updates, we're going to do 6 minutes of rage, so Will can do a segment. First, I was going to give y'all a little bit track back, because I've been gone for a while, since like the end of September. I've been gone for like almost a month. I didn't realize that, because we didn't do a show, I think it was the 30th of September or something, 28th or something like that, because we did a live show. That whole trip was crazy. First off, that live show, shout out to Mark Fleming. We interviewed him at the Ice Event Center, the owner of the Ice Event Center in Oklahoma City. It was different from what I remember. I went there once. I told y'all before to interview Bilal, and they kind of changed. They kind of just shifted the room a little bit, the furniture in the room, whatever, but it still felt the same a little bit. It was a little bit updated because I think he had just started that venue. Or just open that venue whenever I did that interview with Bilal. But either way, I went there, and then when I got there, Whitney and Haley was there before I got there. I was in Moore, Oklahoma, at a relative's house, and it's only like, I think, 15 minutes from, or I forgot how long it is, 12 minutes or something like that from Moore. And so when I got there, I was running behind because I was trying to get ready. And when I got there, I think I was only like 10 minutes. I think we started at 9:30 or something. I got there like at 9:20. I wasn't that late, but I was trying to get there early enough to set up. Well, Whitney and Haley was already there when I got there. And then we just
set up.
That's because
they pimps like to make sure they on the block early. They don't want to be late. You got to get some money when you're out there.
That's hilarious. Yeah, that's funny. We got there and we set up. I was trying to figure out where we were going to set up at, and it was like over there. Man, I didn't anticipate how loud it was, and I had headphones, but I forgot the microphone jack, and I thought we was going to like do it, but he was like, nah, you going to do it while the show's going on, and it was loud as hell, like,
yeah.
And we was doing the interview with him, and it was fun, and most of the time we were just watching the people perform, because, I mean, we talked to my cousin, Levante. He's a bass player. Well, he plays multiple instruments. He's a multi-instrumentalist, and he's also a football coach. And so we were talking to him about some topics or whatever that I saw on his Facebook. It was like a nice conversation. Then most of the time we saw Cooley High, EB, Freddie, that came on the show. The last show we did last year for the end of the year. Freddie Noel. You remember him, EB? The one we interviewed.
Freddie.
The show. When we did the anniversary of Black Messiah, D'Angelo's album, when we had him on.
Oh, yes. I remember because of Black Messiah. Yes.
And then also Thaddeus Johnson. We are in the same spot with two other singers. We're supposed to have them on. Thaddeus is coming. Freddie's coming back too because his EP is about to drop. And very soon, I think, in a few weeks, I think his EP is about to drop. So we're going to come on again, and we're going to play the whole album, or play a few. I don't know how many he's going to have on there, but however many songs on there, we're going to play as many as we can on the show. And we're going to have him on, Thaddeus as well. And then there's also, I got the musicians contact to get them on, because they was hitting, EB. They was killing. I was like, man, that's tight.
Was they in the pocket, though? Was they doing
Yeah, they was in the pocket and everything. I'm getting the whole pet. It was called, they're called a tap band. They a house band for the venue. They was killing.
Tap band?
Yes, the tap dance is killing. And then they was playing songs that made me like them. The Ella May, I don't know if I'm saying the name right, the one that got the boot up song, they was killing.
Yeah, right.
The
harmony. Yep.
Am I saying it right, for real?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. I heard that song. I think I heard the remix. I think with Chris Brown or something, I heard a variation of that song. And I was like, oh yeah, that's that one song. But I never know the name of it. I was like, oh, that's that one song. That's all I said. Because I heard it, remember I was telling you I was in the Uber in Chicago and they was like playing that song and Daniel Craig and all that stuff, like her and stuff like that, like this new R&B that's out I had never heard. And he had like a shuffle playlist of it. I was like, oh, that's that one song I heard in that Uber. But yeah, it was cool. I told Thaddeus. And then they left Whitney and Haley. They was like, Whitney asked me. I liked it because it made me laugh. She was like, after we got through, I was putting the equipment up in the bag. And Whitney was like, you need any help? And I was like, no, I'm good. I was like, this ain't nothing. And she's like, are you sure? And then I was like, no, I'm good. And then they left. I wasn't talking to more people there. Like, Thaddeus.
You were right there at the door with us, and I thought you was walking out behind us. We were there for a second waiting. Oh, okay. I was talking to Thaddeus
and all them cats. I mean, the singers and stuff that was performing, I was talking to all them, and then Thaddeus was like, he had such good energy. I was like, y'all, I'm cute. He's like, oh, that's you, whatever. And then Freddie already... Because I had never seen him before, so we were just chatting and just talking or whatever. And then I was getting just more contact information. I was like, just talking to them, and they already left. I was like, oh, they already left. Because I was talking for like 15 minutes, and I looked up, and y'all was already gone. I was like, oh, they already left.
I was trying to get back to their house.
It was like 1:30 in the morning. I asked her, was she going to spend the night in Oklahoma City? Whitney looked at me. She was like, no, we driving back. I was like, I knew I was sleepy. I told you at 10 I was tired because I had to do all these errands before I got there. I was like, I was tired. I was like, I knew I was gonna fall asleep. So I went back to my relative's house, and I hate staying over. I mean, they have a really nice house. It's just like, I'm glad they have like so many guest rooms to where I could just like wander off there and not be seen, because I hate laying up in people's house because I feel like I'm lazy and I have to do something. It's weird. I like staying at relatives' house. And then, like, she made breakfast, and she left the pans and stuff. I was like, I'm gonna wash all these. I washed every pan. She had like a few dishes in there. I was like, I washed all of them and put them in the dishwasher. And she was like, thanks. She appreciated it because she has other amenities she has to do with my uncle and stuff like that. And so I didn't mind doing it. But yeah, I hate laying up in people's houses. I hate being guests at people's houses because I feel like I have to do something. Like, I get up at 6 in the morning or something just to feel like I ain't laying around or whatever. Like, it's weird. I just hate laying around at people's houses. I just can't be comfortable. But it was fun. And then I actually spent some time with some of my dad and then a couple of my relatives, because I haven't seen them in so long because they say I'm working all the time. I was like, I'm going to just, after I start on this break, I'm like, I'm going to go visit some relatives. And I went over to my uncle's house, and my dad and all of them were there. They were playing spades. This is the first time I ever seen a spades game live, or I think maybe the second or third time. And then this is very, I realized this is a very violent and verbally violent game. I was like, dude, I felt like they was about to fight, like, right after. I was like, what is with all this aggression for spades? And then nobody would tell me how the game worked. Like, I was just watching them, and they was like, they didn't want to teach me. They was like, you know how to play spades? And then it was that. That was it. That's all they asked me. I was like, how do you play? And they was like, they said something about books and running to Boston. I was like, I don't know what this means. I was like, this sounds like Greek to me. I don't know what this is. I don't know what y'all talking about. And then my dad, I went over there, and then they, like, if you're a younger relative, they always send you to the grocery store or something like that for something. And my dad was barbecuing. And he sent me across the street to get something. Or he was saying he didn't feel like going to the store. And I was like, watch, he asked me in about 5 seconds to go to the store to get something. And he was like, Quanisha. I was like, oh, I already know. Go to the store. What you need? And he started laughing. I was like, that ain't funny. like making me the errand person. Y'all the errand person in y'all household or whenever y'all go to family gatherings. I hate that. That's mm-hmm. the worst. When you got to go get
I know.
I don't care if it's hamburger buns. I don't like going to the store because then you got to, if y'all like my family, we was in the hood. We was in the project and I ain't going to, it's like right across from, he lived in a Mexican project, so it's all kind of random people walking around. I was like, man, got me walking across the street to get this. And then I went in there and I was getting ready to leave and some white dude, he looked homeless and he was like, can I put, this beer on my EBT? I was like, oh man, I need to go. I was like, he has it a place. And then I told my uncle, one of my uncles the story, he was like, man, he's like, you should have told him you'd give him $3. I was like, man, I look like Nicholas Nomlin, this dude. He's like, you should have told him you give him $3 for it. I was like, man. I was like, ain't nobody about the nickel and dime. I don't need $3 that bad. I was like, I don't know. I do not need it. It was funny. It's always funny going to projects because they had some beer on sale for 3-for-1. I was like, what kind of math is that?
Damn.
3-for-1.
What
is that?
3-for-1.
Leave that there.
Get three cans of beer for $1. I was like, what if you just lost two? I was like, what is that, 76 cents or something, 65 cents? What the hell?
Where were you? You were in the boonies somewhere.
Oh, my God.
You were in the backwoods somewhere.
Listen, I told you I was in the Mexican projects. There's always something going on. Police beat through there. That's all I'll be saying. And then I was just sitting up there. They was hot. This is when it was kind of warm outside, and they had their shirts off playing spades. I was like, y'all is out here ghetto than a mug. Y'all out here ghetto than a mug. I was like, I was just enjoying it though, cause they was talking trash to each other. And then, one of my cousins was flipping off my dad. He gave him the finger and my daddy told him to sit on it. I was like, oh, that's funny. I was like, now I know where I get it from. I was like, that was hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
She told me, but yeah, that was crazy. And then I went on vacation. I'll tell you about that later in the show, but. What else? We got some updates on. Oh, it's two questions. It's I pulled up one of them. It's from some guy named Sean. I don't know how to say his last name. It starts with a D, so I'll just call him Sean D or something like that. I don't know how to say his last name. But it's just more musician questions. It's like, it says, how to be seen, how do you be seen in the music industry? I guess he's asking how do you get music industry people to notice you? I just say it's mostly just like you basically have to know somebody. It's just like any kind of like if you got references on, if you're filling out a job application, you need references. It's basically like that's how you get in. It's mostly who you know. So I don't know who you know. It's like a whole ordeal with it, but mostly, it's just who you know. That's how you get in, mostly, most of the time. And your reputation kind of has to be at a certain place for you to. Because if you get recommended by somebody, that's a big deal. Because most of the time, most of them don't want to recommend you. Like sometimes it's an envious thing, and then sometimes it's they don't have anybody accountable that they know to do a gig or whatever. And sometimes they'll just ask anybody. But most of the time, you just gotta be a dependable person. All the characteristics you need to be on time and stuff like that. That's most of what goes into it. But yeah, it's basically who you know. If y'all listen to the interviews we did with like Charlie Burrell and Daru Jones, like that's mostly what they talk about. And they're like pretty prominent in the industry doing album credits and stuff like that. So that's mostly what it is. It's just who you know. But yeah, I can't give y'all like the whole game. Like y'all have to go, some of y'all don't want to pay for it. Some of y'all have to go to clinics and music clinics and stuff like that to know the information. Cause I don't know. It's more people that can give you like more detailed information and help you with your resume of, what you need to put on there. If you're going to do auditions, I don't audition. So that's not my thing, but it's people, if you want to get on in terms of, doing touring and stuff like that, doing touring gigs that make a lot of money and stuff like that, and working for a record label that send you out there to get paid $400 or $500 a gig. That they have people that specialize in that. So I would just look that up and see if you can find somebody that does music clinics. And so it's another question, but I'll say this for Will's segment, after Will's segment, because it has to do with voting.
And it's, this question is irritating, irritate me already, but I'm going to answer it when we do Will's segment. But also, yeah, I had a whole bunch of stuff going on. What y'all have going on during the show? You have anything big going on before we move on to Will's segment?
No, I can say for me, no. I've just been just really busy, so I haven't had anything big going on. Maybe Whitney has, so I don't know.
No, nothing yet.
Well,
just working.
Hey,
well,
you want to tell some of your business? I heard in the second show. I think that's what I heard.
Last show, all my business was aired.
I was talking about
so y'all are pretty.
What happened?
See, if you went back to the old school and started just calling people, you wouldn't be having these text
that's
problems.
Right. Hello,
okay.
Wow.
Listen, I was giving some advice, okay? If you want to get a girlfriend like me, I'm just saying.
You better watch out. EB may go to Twitter. You know, EB is dangerous.
You're right. That's okay.
EB is dangerous with that Twitter.
EB has already told everything.
Oh.
There's nothing else that EB can tell about me.
That's funny.
It's all out there.
He's dangerous.
There are a couple more things.
EB is dangerous on Twitter.
Yep. The only update that I have, and everybody already knows, like, EB is trifling, but that's all I got going.
Wow.
She went there.
Shot fired. Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
Damn.
She went there.
Oh, you guys are wild.
Two peaks. She went up top, and then she went to the bottom, and hit you in your pinky and everything. With that
damn.
Really, though? That's how she's doing me.
Damn. EB, you went low. Hey, EB.
Wait.
EB, you went low and she went lower. Oh my goodness.
You know what, EB? You know what, EB? I'm gonna take up for you because hopefully this will work out. I don't know if this is gonna work out or not, if you're gonna ever defend me, but I'll say that EB has a lot of redeemable qualities.
Hold it. You just shot EB down.
Has a lot of redeeming qualities about
Nick Montague. Oh my God.
You know, we went through the whole debacle of, you know, dancing and tidy whities and, you know, having loose change, you know, to take back home, you know, in total $17.79 he collected, you know. He has a lot of redeemable qualities about him, I'm just saying.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I'm just messing around. Listen, I told you I gotta get, listen, even you throwing digs at me all
back.
Show, okay? I gotta get him back. Okay?
You gotta get us back. I understand.
I gotta get him back. You was doing the same thing, so I gotta get him in when I get him in.
Oh boy, okay.
I just felt, actually I was gonna turn it differently. Honestly, I was gonna say, like, y'all are amazing, y'all dope. I was like, I appreciate y'all, like, cause I was actually gonna, like, just take a little hiatus from the show, and it was like, and they was like, nah, we're gonna move forward. So I appreciate them just going forward and just keep the show going from the momentum. And y'all had Raheem Devon on, y'all had like a lot of great guests on, the two guests y'all had on that was managers of a venue, you said. What was their name? The lady's
Mary,
name on.
Mary Across, and what was the other lady's name? Whitney, do you remember?
I know her first name is Nancy. I forget the last
name. Nancy, yes. Mary and Nancy were on. And, yeah, so they were great.
They were.
They have their event coming up in New Jersey, in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, the jazz event coming up.
Right.
Yes.
Hey, Q-Lan.
I enjoyed the interview. It was pretty cool. Okay. But go ahead. I was going to say something before we get to your 6 minutes of rage.
Okay, no, but I have some good news, though. Whitney and EB, you've got to interview this cat. His name is Will Clark.
Oh, I saw that text. Yeah, I saw you sent that
Will.
Text. Right.
Yes, you got the interview.
You got to send me the information because you text me like 11. I got the message. I don't know what time it was on the West Coast, but you text me like almost at midnight.
Yep.
And I was sweet. I told you.
Well, you. Oh, he.
I'm turning into EB. I gotta be in the bed.
Yeah, you know me.
By 9 o'clock.
Oh, my goodness.
So I was knocked out.
Oh, my goodness. No, anyway, this cat has a...
I gotta research the guy.
No, actually, you can listen to him tonight. He has two shows here on Studio W. One tonight at 11 o'clock. Oh, that's past your bedtime, huh? And also on Monday night.
I might listen in.
Okay, now check
this
out.
I gotta...
All right.
Finish up these drafts, so I'll probably listen in.
Right. And hey, guys, check this out. This guy has played with Janet Jackson. He's played with George Duke. He's played with Adele. He's played with Najee and a whole host of other people, and he has a he has two regular shows right here on the Buzz, and he is anxious
what
to come on.
What time does it come on?
That's 11 o'clock. Well, it's 10 o'clock your time, and 11 o'clock on the East Coast.
Okay, 10 o'clock
tonight.
Is it come on tonight or tomorrow?
Tonight. And matter of fact.
Oh, okay. I'm a listener.
Matter of fact. You might notice a musician that he's interviewing tonight, and that is Drew Davidson, guitarist, renowned guitarist. Check it. His name is Drew Davidson. You know, a lot of times you guys are really great musicians and you really don't know the names behind it unless you do your research like you guys do.
Yep.
But it's going to be fantastic. You got to check it out. And also he is Tom Brown, coming on, I think in about a month or so. The guy who
did Jamaica Funk.
Yep. Jamaica Funk. He's going to be on his show. Adele has been listening, for the last 3 weeks. She's been listening on his show as well. So you guys, hey, I'm telling you, the Buzz is jamming. So anyway, that's what we have going on.
Oh my God. I ain't gonna pull on this babe while we doing the show. That's what I need to do. But, man, it's so much to go on. Like, I was thinking about a bunch of stuff, while I was on vacation. And like, soon as I was getting ready to, I was sending out the last minute emails. I think I was sending EB, like, the questions and stuff like that, and then also I was emailing some other potential interviewers and stuff like that, trying to finalize that stuff. And then I was just scrolling on Instagram, and I saw people that I knew, that musicians and colleagues that I know that you know, posted that Big Jim Wright died, and I was like, man, I was like crushed, because we just got to Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
And I was just about to turn my phone off. And then all that stuff going on. And the crazy thing is that the month prior to when I had interviewed Shep Crawford, the same week that I was talking to Shep about coming on the show, or his people to come on the show, I was talking to Jim Wright. And we actually were supposed to interview him next month in November, November 8th to be specific. And I've met Jim. I've been in his presence multiple times. Just, you know, being a musician, you get privileged to just be around them and just in the setting. And then I met him multiple times at shows, I think Ozzy Brothers show, Anita Baker show. He's like everywhere. And then he's been touring with Mariah Carey. If you don't know who Big Jim Wright is, he's a Grammy award winning producer, songwriter, or music arranger, music director. When Monique had her show, he was the music, I think they called him the penthouse players. He was the MD for that show. And also he was the MD, I think, for a few seasons on Sunday Best that was on BT, that gospel, talent show. And yeah, he has a list of credits, and he's, you know, worked with Janet Jackson, Aretha Franklin, Patti LaBelle, Whitney Houston, like everybody, Deborah Cox, Tamia, Kelly Price, like all the big R&B singers he's done. And so I've talked to him a few times, like behind the scenes, and just did my own personal interviews. But I wanted him to come on because he had just produced Ann Nesby's new album that came out this year. And I was going to talk about that with him and stuff like that. And just because he was just in a good space, and he was just like a really like great person. And he had such a big personality. Like if you knew him, he was like funny. He laughed a lot. And I like when I had that phone conversation with him, I didn't even have to sell him on the show because we had met when we met earlier this year at the Ozzy Brothers show. I was telling him, we were just talking about music, and then I told him that I did a radio show, and he was just into it, and he was like, yo, hit me up, and he gave me his number. And I was thinking it was like his assistant's number because that's usually what it is, but it was his personal, like, number. And that was a big deal. For me, that's a big deal, like when people give you a personal number, stuff like that.
Right.
And so he gave me his number. We were talking. I think it was like 15 minute conversation. We were talking, and I was like, this show. And he was like, yeah. And halfway before I asked him, he was already into it. And he was like, what'd you say the name of the show was? He's like, you said Soul Sadness? He's like, oh, that sounds good. He's like, that's great or whatever. And then he was into it. And so he was, you know, booked him on there because I know he's busy doing other stuff, and we had scheduled it in. And so it was definitely a blow to the heart because that was I think that would have been my top favorite interview this year if I would have got that. But just the fact that he wanted to come on the show, and I'm not like kind of sad about that, it's just the fact that, man, it's crazy, like I don't want to immortalize him, but it's just like kind of weird, like seeing somebody like that not like living, because they had such a big personality, you think they would live a long time. So it's just weird to process, but Man, I was definitely feeling it for a couple of days, but yeah.
That first week you were gone, I felt it, and because I know you and I know how you feel about musicians and talented musicians, I was like, so this show, like, I had a total different plan. I was like, nah, this show, we playing all Big Jim, right? Like, all the songs.
I appreciate that. I heard some of the songs. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, it's got to be something, because this is Soul Savviness. Julian loves him. And this is what the show was created for. It was to highlight the people like Big Jim who are doing their all. And you did tell me when you were talking to Shep that, yeah, Big Jim, I talked to him. So I was actually looking forward to that, too. So I'm sorry it never happened. But
I know, right?
You know,
it was musical genius. Right, exactly. And then it's just, and then also same thing happened. It kind of had me in a weird space, too, because another artist we were supposed to, I mean, a musician we were supposed to have on, drummer for Snoop Dogg, passed away earlier this year, Carlos McSwain. And I emailed him some weeks prior to get him on the show, and then he died. Tragedy, some months ago, and so it was just, it had me in a weird space a little bit thinking about it, but I just the fact that they wanted, and then I gave a little bit of appreciations to them on Instagram, and a lot of people reached out to me and appreciated it, like, Avery Sunshine, like, husband, what's his name, Dave.
Big Dane.
Big Dane, he liked what I said about Big Dim, and then also people that knew him personally liked it. That I put that whole video montage together on, or just had the videos up there on my Instagram. And it was like significant. That video was significant to a lot of people that was there, because it was, one of the videos I posted was Dennis Edwards. And they actually, one of his friends, music colleagues, hit me up on Twitter, was like, yo, he was like always going insane over that song. He was always singing that song. And so it was sort of like a energy aligning of that. And I feel like, I was, like, just saying, like, Dennis Edwards, I was like, they're reunited in heaven, and people like that. So I like that people see, like, the appreciation posts that I do and like them and stuff like that, because it's just my personal passion about it. And when other people acknowledge it and like it, people in the industry that like it and see it, I always think it's dope, because it's just they all have the same memory of him. That's what's so crazy about it. Like, everybody says how funny he is, how great he is of a person first. And then he also, like, I wanted him on the show as well, because he was going to go in on a lot of these new R&B singers. That was another part of it as well, because he kept it 100, like, just in private conversation. He was like, and then also he was going to talk about, like, not necessarily bashing people, but just telling the hardships of being in the music industry, because it wasn't all roses of everything you had to do with deals that went wrong and stuff like that. And so those conversations that I was going to privy to everybody else that had aspirations, like one of the listeners that sent that question in about the music industry, we was gonna give, like, that's why I bring musicians on, so they can get the real about, like, how much work it is to get on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just talent, it's a lot of stuff that goes in, not just knowing people as well, but just having good work ethic and goes with it, and business sense and stuff like that. So he was gonna hit, but yeah, it's a lot of updates I have, but I can't talk about it yet, cause I went to LA. When I came back and stayed for a couple days, and it's a lot of stuff that I'm trying to get done in terms of distribution deals and stuff like that, that I'm trying to produce and stuff with the docuseries I'm trying to get done. And I'm telling you, I got more accomplished those 2 days than I've had, like, going back and forth from Oklahoma City to Dallas. And so I think, I don't know if I mentioned this on the show, but I'm definitely planning to move to California, because that's just a thing that has to happen. I've been planning it for a while, but yeah. It's definitely time. It's like, yo, one of my friends that was on the trip, he was like, yo, you need to come, and you need to play around and come. So I'm definitely going to do that. That's a planning trip. But like I said, I'm trying to, you know, you got to plan and do stuff right, because you can't BS around in LA and stuff like that. You got to have your stuff together, because you will be out there on Skid Row.
Tell me about it.
If you don't get it together.
Yeah.
So I ain't trying to end up in one of them situations. I'm trying to, I got a financial goal, so I'm trying to progress towards that. But yeah, I give y'all updates on it. But yeah, it's a lot of great news. And then also, another revelation I had with Big Jim's passing was just me finally finishing, I'm getting ready to do my bass lesson tomorrow. And I've been putting this off for like 11 years. Like, this was the main instrument I've been wanting to play since I've like been like playing professional, this is the instrument I want to play. So I finally put it in my schedule this year, and I'm gonna get it done. I was supposed to been doing this last year, but I never had time to. But now I'm fitting in the time. I got everything organized, and it's just, man, it's so much. It's been a good year. I mean, the top of the year, I was like, man, I think God's trying to take me out. It was crazy. But, like, I feel like my year, like, from everything recovering from all the different things that I was going through, my health and stuff like that, in terms of, like, torn ligaments and back problems and stuff, like, all that stuff that was going on at the top of the year. And when I finally got clearance from the doctor to start going back to working and stuff like that, my year really didn't start till June. And so the whole year I've been trying to play catch up, but everything's just been working out. So I don't want to bore y'all with that. We're going to get to 6 minutes of rage. Will's ready. We get to 6 minutes of rage, aka Savvy Report. Will, I know you got a whole bunch to talk about. I came back to mess. I'm like, that was a beautiful thing not to have my phone on, so I didn't have to get these Trump alerts and stuff like that. 6 minutes of rage with Will. Go ahead, Will.
Oh my God, is Ray. Hey, first thing I'm enraged about, Qlin comes back off of a 2 week vacation and she's going to slander me and my good buddy EB and didn't say a damn thing to Whitney, Healy, or Helen. But anyway, on to a more serious note. Hey folks, hey, this is getting real serious right now. You need to get your butt out there and vote. Did you know in Georgia that 40 seniors were denied a right to vote? They were going to vote early. Did you know that? They were going to vote early, and they had met at a senior center, and they had a bus. 40 of them were on a bus, and they were going to vote, register early or vote early, right? And they were told by some officials to get off of the bus. Folks, this is getting ridiculous. Voter suppression is real. Gerrymandering is real. And if you have any friends that says, I'm not going to vote because my vote won't count anyway, just count them out of your life because they aren't even. Oh, my goodness. Let's get on right this. Oh, outrage, outrage, outrage number one. I'm sick and tired of these privileged people, and you know exactly who I'm talking about, calling the police on black people for sleeping in dorms, selling water. Hey, I've got a barbecue outside, and the smoke is getting into your yard. Good God, I'm telling you. And then, oh, you've got barbecue Becky. You got Cornerstone Caroline and Golf Cart Gail. Golf Cart Gail called the cops on a dad that was yelling or was out there expressing himself and agreeing with the referee at a soccer game. So she decides to call the cops. Okay. Hey, did you hear about Cornerstone Caroline? She accuses 9-year-old boy of grabbing her butt. Now, if you look very closely at the videotape, this toothpick had no butt. So the guy, the dumb boy, he's 9 years old, just simply brushed her with his backpack and she go call the cops. Came back later to, later the next day to watch the videotape. Oh, I apologize, whoever you are, too late there. And have you seen Barbecue Becky that's gonna call, the cops on these black folks out there having a barbecue in a park? Have you seen Barbecue Becky? Well, take a really close visual of her. She looked like there is never a pork sandwich that she did not like. Did you see that? I'm serious about that. Have you seen those jowls on that pig? All right. Anyway, moving right along. Boy. I'm so tired also of these so-called privileged people slandering women. Yours 45 had the nerve to call Stormy Daniels horse face. Well, guess what? I think that all the mirrors in the White House must be broken. You haven't looked at anyone lately over the last 6 or 7 years, dude, because you are no prize. Then he has a nerve to call somebody a dog. Again, I think the mirrors are broken, or, you know, it's something else different going on. The black Republicans, oh, my. You just want to strangle them because you already know that a whole lot of them are just being paid. They are being props. They are set up, folks. Can you, I'm serious. Hey, has there been a parasite sighting lately? Oh, no. CNN, hey, they suspended him. Well, guess what? for sexual harassment in the workplace. How about Daryl C. Scott, that preacher that you definitely need to ask back for a refund? If you go to his church, oh, that's right, we're calling you out, Daryl C. Scott. You knucklehead, Cleveland Heights, Ohio, folks. If your tithes and offering to his church should be refunded and refunded immediately. You already know he and Michael Cohen, and guess who? 45 set up this coalition for diversity. What a joke that is. My. When we still don't have clean water in Flint, Michigan, kids are dying. If kids are being poisoned because there's no clean water, yet this knucklehead wants to cut back the EPA regulations, not only on the water, but your cold code too. So anything for the price of a dollar, I bet you'll sell out his mother, you know, if the price is right. This is too serious, folks. We need to get out there and vote. We need to let the people know what's happening. If you got a friend that doesn't vote, then guess what? That person is not your friend anymore. You've got to check this thing out. It's unbelievable what is going on out here. Oh, then on top of that, you know what? You talk about distractions. Think about this, EBQ Lynn and Whitney. Think about this. Isn't there still a Russian investigation going on? How about China or Japan? Oh, North Korea. Oh, my goodness. My. Oh, by the way, someone was just murdered in the Arabian embassy there in Saudi Arabian embassy in Turkey. And guess what? Oh, you know, the Republicans said, oh, we need more information. The man is dead. We need more information. You had Pompeo to go all the way over on a 2-day trip. How much did that cost? He came back. I think we need to give him a few days. Well, hey, knucklehead, why the hell did you go over there in the first place? Oh, was it a vacation? I guess they have golf courses in Saudi Arabia. Folks, this is my 6 minutes of rage. And again, Q-Lane, you need to stop slandering EB and your great engineer, Will.
Man, you came back quick. I was sitting here knee deep in this vodka pot.
We've got more. We've got more.
You know what we're gonna do? We gotta do this real quickly because we run out of time because we got so much raggedy and savage. What we're gonna do is we're gonna talk a little bit about in the 6 minutes of rage a little bit of this about this listener question as soon as I find it. Listen, y'all, I told y'all I don't like reading, so I'm trying to summarize this because my vision is blurry, and so I'm trying to summarize this because I don't remember.
Your vision is blurry.
My vision is blurry because I told you I'm a little bit plastered right now. I'm a little bit on the
a little bit.
And I have this I have this white wine, and so I'm having experience right now, so I'm trying to get my
eyes experience.
Yes, my soul's on the drone. I'm having a 420 experience, so I'm all over the place right now. Okay. The listener question is basically saying about voting, they saying that voters, they're kind of people saying that this is Trump is in office is because y'all keep saying that he's in the office because nobody voted, but y'all don't talk about voter suppression and blah 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 blah. I'm saying blah 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 because these are the facts. It's one thing to argue your opinion and about policy and what happened and what could have happened with voting, that's the one thing. But to say that's not true, that people didn't vote, I already told this, the reason why I'm going to harp on this too long is because I already mentioned this before. We talked about this on the show before, and I guess that's what what show they are pinning this to because I just got the email. But basically that's what they're talking about, that we can't blame the voters for what happened in 2016 election. Listen, if you read the data for yourself, you will see that's what it was. There's a thing, Electoral College, yes, it has something to do with it, but you got to understand, those key states that Hillary needed, she didn't campaign at those places where she was supposed to, where the numbers would have reflected what happened in Obama's first term and the second term. Basically, states like North Carolina, Michigan, and Florida, like Florida is like the main one that has the most electoral colleges, but the ones that come close is like North Carolina, Michigan, I think West Virginia, and Wisconsin. Those states like that, she didn't win those states, and Obama won those states. Those were all, some of them called swing states, but most of those have been blue since Obama's first and second term
those two states were blue, and they all voted for that. If you look at the numbers, the numbers from Hillary that voted there in those counties, all of them were marginal to where there were only like 3,000 to 6,000 to some counties and some states. They were all, he only won those electoral college votes by like 3,000, 6,000 votes. And most of those votes, electoral college votes, were the most that she needed, and she didn't get those. And that's when I knew she was going to lose. And those polls came out, I think, like maybe 2 to 3 hours before they announced him as president. And I was like, if she loses those key states, she's going to lose. I knew that right off the bat. And she lost all those by whatever marginal number that was. But if you look at the numbers to where the low amount of turnout that happened versus Obama, clearly nobody voted. And people of the MSNBC had the data that said that if those same amount of people voted in Obama's election that voted in Hillary, they were going to win. But a lot of people were saying that the news and media outlets were wrong. They wasn't wrong. It wasn't, the people didn't show up the same way that they did in the Obama election the way they did in Hillary. It's clear as day. So I'm not going to sit here and argue that. These are facts. I don't care if you don't like that or not. If you didn't vote, I don't know if people feel away because they didn't vote and they're trying to put it off on something else. Yes, voter suppression is a thing. It is. I'm not discounting that. I'm saying that the facts are the facts. She didn't win the key state that she was supposed to win, and that's why she lost. That's why I was telling y'all the film director, Michael Moore, he wrote about it June of 2016, months before the primary election happened in November. He wrote about it and said that if she didn't win those key states, then Trump was going to be president. And he said that, and people thought he was crazy. But he was true. That's fact. Like, yes, the electoral college is rigged and all that stuff, but you got to understand, she didn't get those votes in those key states. And even though she won the popular vote, that electoral college, you have to win those votes. In order for her to get those electoral college votes, she had to win those states, basically. And she didn't win those states. And that's the bottom line. And the reason why I'm addressing this one, because it's a lot of people, I see people on the internet talking about it. I'm like, listen, if you didn't vote in the election, that's fine, but you can't state an opinion on what you think the way that America is turning out because you're part of the problem, period. And what Will was saying about voting is, I know people are early voting now, I think in Georgia and some other states, it's early voting, I think, starting now. But y'all need to go out to the polls in November 6th. Like, this is out of all the elections, people, notable journalists are saying this is the most important one, the mid-election. And like I said before, the 2012, the last mid-election, it was only about 4% of black people voted in that election. That's terrible. Like, that's fact.
It's terrible.
These aren't made-up numbers. That's absolute fact. Only 4% of people voted in the 2012 election, which overturned the Senate, which overturned the House. And this is why we have the Congress that we have right now, because nobody voted in 2012 and allowed this to happen. I was super pissed back then in 2012 because nobody voted. And
yep.
Obama was pissed, and he said it out of his own mouth that he was mad that nobody voted.
Yep.
And that's what it is. People turn out for you. It's not hard to educate yourself on these things. A lot of y'all don't have excuses anymore. Like, when I started learning about politics, we didn't have internet and stuff like that. Google wasn't a thing when I was in school. So we had to look up this information. If I needed to look up something about a president, I had to look in an encyclopedia and stuff like that, like books and stuff like that. Y'all got technology, so it's no excuse for y'all to not at least know what's going on in your local and state government. But that's just my thing. And we'll move on to the Raggedy Savvy News. Well, you got anything else to say before we cap off the segment so we get to Raggedy
yeah,
Savvy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm sure EB does also. Hey, look, folks, to me, a couple of things. We're talking two separate things here. By right, Hillary should be president because the majority rules. She won by 3 million
right.
popular votes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I'm just
right.
saying to people, I'm just saying those electoral colleges, people trying to make it separate from a point. I'm like, no, that's not what that is. If she would have won those key states, she would have won, but nobody voted. That's my point. And people are trying to deflect from the responsibility of not voting the ones that didn't vote. And I'm saying that you can't argue with that.
Right, right, you can't.
That's
but now,
my thing. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Now you have to look at the areas, look at those key states that you mentioned also, and look at the, population. You know, you don't have,
right.
you don't have that
and
many
only,
minorities.
And mind you, he only won some of those counties by like 3,000, every county in certain states,
yeah.
like in Illinois and stuff like, he only won by 3,000, 6,000. So just imagine if those people, not even counting the independent voters that voted for Jill Stein, if you just counted to the ones that voted for Obama, it's triple the amount that voted for Obama. And that was a turn. Just 2,000, 3,000 votes, that's too close.
I have to agree.
In that swing state. But I'm just saying that if people would have showed up to vote it that same way they voted for Obama, then but all that speculation, remember they released, the FBI have released their conclusion of the investigation with those emails the same, around that time when the election started. So that helped, that didn't help it either.
No, it didn't help at all.
Stuff like that. That, and then also with certain party groups that didn't, they were talking about her making predator comments about black or thugs or criminals and stuff like that. It was a lot of that going on, and the
right.
lesser two evil conversations. So that played a part into it.
Okay,
so
okay.
I'm just saying.
Right, right. Q-Lynn, and you have to. We can't. It would be a dereliction of our reporting if we didn't acknowledge the fact there is voter suppression. Remember when I'm talking about these?
Yes, yes. I'm not discounting that, but I'm just saying that
right.
if even with those numbers, with that, still it wasn't the same numbers. Even from, because I saw some of the numbers of what they were doing, but that still doesn't equate to how many people voted for Obama. That's what I'm saying. It's the numbers
well,
don't
this
match up in terms of the voter suppression. Like, I'm just saying, in totality, if those people, that's what I was saying. I'm not discounting the voter suppression. I know that's a thing, but I'm just saying, in general, those numbers to where registered people that are already registered voters, that if those were been accounted for and they voted, it would have been way more for her to win. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you're exactly right. And before you move on, I'd like to hear EB's impression about this, but I tell you something. It was an all out campaign, not only with voter suppression, but there was also a lot of intimidation. There was a lot of fear. And keep in mind, folks, Russia had a lot to do with it. Remember those rallies that came out where you had one party, one group against another? That stuff was planned. And those seeds, those seeds of violence were all, the seeds of violence were already planted out there. There was so much going on to manipulate this election. One thing I have to agree with Donald Trump about, I have to agree with that, and I agree with him 1,000% that the election was rigged.
It was. But they're saying more so the social media of the Russian hacking into the Facebook. Like, I believe all that happened because it's a lot of those. They were
taking
over black people, trying to pretend like they were black people, say certain things, and then it's all kind of different accounts. But I'm just saying on the internet things of sort of brainwashing people to believe stuff, and that's what people do, because they see, they would make up stories about Hillary Clinton and people would run with it like it was true, like it was completely false. But because it was on Facebook, people just click on it and they didn't get any sources from it, and so they just automatically believed it.
Well, you know, people are so, you know,
hacking. That's more what the hacking,
right.
Russian hacking was trying to manipulate people thinking that Hillary was doing something. Because there was all kind of ridiculous stories out there about her having a pizza drug ring or something. Like, what the fuck? How does that even make any sense?
A pizza porn drug ring.
It was like a pizza drug ring or something like that.
Right, right.
From the Russian box or something.
Okay.
People that Russia that hacked it and they were believing it.
Yep. Hey, look here. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Let me tell you something that's real. Okay. And this goes back to 1973. All right. And we're talking about, in times of the Black Panther movement. There's a such thing, folks. Look it up, read it up, do your research, right? It's a such thing called an agent provocateur. And what that agent is, he will get on the side of one group. And this is how the Black Panthers were set up, right? When I said set up, right? They would have, they had infiltrated the troop, the group with one of theirs, right? That would get in there and like they would have peaceful rallies. Someone out of the Black Panther or a so-called Black Panther would throw a rock at a cop, and that's all they needed to fire on those Black Panthers. But it was a plant in the first place. The guy who threw the rock was on their side. It's the same thing. It's the same thing going on, and the Russians have perfected it.
Right, exactly. Do y'all have anything else to say before we move on? Because we don't get through these real quickly so we can get to the topic. But, Whitney Haley, what do you mean?
I'm not real quick. Like, I will say that I do understand where the person who emailed is coming from.
I think his name is Sean. Sean D. That's what I said.
I get that it can be disheartening when you know for a fact that Hillary won the popular vote, but still by the Electoral College, Donald Trump is in the office of president. This is why the midterm elections are so much more important, because they don't use the Electoral College. That is strictly the popular vote. So we should get out and vote. I think so much emphasis has been placed over the years on the presidential election that people often forget that the midterm elections are just
if not more important.
Yeah, they're just as, if not more important. So I get where the frustration comes from. If anything, then you should be fighting for a reform of the Electoral College, if that is what you're passionate about, if you don't understand that. But these elections are so important because if you know anything about government, you know that there are three branches of government. There's the legislative, there's the executive, and there's the judicial.
Yep.
With right now, what we're doing is we're making sure, well, what I hope that we're doing is making sure that even though the executive branch is a Republican at this point, Donald Trump is Republican, that we make sure that the legislative branch of the government does not all go Republican, that there is someone in office who is Democratic, or if, you know, anybody listening who's not, you know, they're bipartial or Green Party or whatever, we want to make sure that the government is not completely Republican. That is why we have these three branches. That is why they have these laws and these rules in places. So it's definitely important that you get out and vote. Trust me, I more than anybody, I understand your frustration. I understand how you can be like, well, my vote doesn't count because I voted and so did 3 million more people for someone who did not get into office. So why should I believe that they count? But trust me, it counts, especially during these midterm elections. I want everybody to please go out and vote. Please, please, please vote. It makes a difference, and we will see it in the long run. We might even see it in the short term. Trust me, y'all. So everybody vote.
Yes, yes, yes. But, oh, yeah. Oh, go ahead. Whitney, Haven, y'all got anything to say before we move on to Raggedy News?
No, I don't. No, okay. No, I think y'all said it.
Okay. And then also, I didn't mean to cut you off, Evie, when you said, you think of Kavanaugh. I was like, if anything, that'll make you vote. I was like, if you looked at how the Congress acted during that whole Kavanaugh situation, that should let you know then. You remember I was telling Levante when we was at ICE, I was like, you want some old Caucasian person ruling your life? And he was like, because he was saying he wasn't going to vote because his vote didn't matter. And then he was like, okay, he thought I was going to get passionate about it. I was like, what? I'm like, you're too old to be talking like this, Levante. I'm just saying. I don't put you on blast on the radio, but I'm just saying. Like, you're too old to be talking like this. I was like, you don't want no old cantankerous, old man, Caucasian man, dictating your future, because that's all it is. And it's crazy because the demographic in the Congress does not represent the people, because there's data out there saying that in the next 8 years, the next presidential elections, and it's going to all be blue, and it's only going to be a few states, because that's the population of the people is turning more brown. And that's what all these racist Caucasian people is mad about, is that they think, you know, immigrants and stuff is taking over their jobs. That's why they're so in an uproar and stuff like that. They're trying to scare people because they're not the majority anymore in America. And so even though they're like 70% whatever the population, but I'm just saying in terms of, you know, the fluctuation of mixed races and, you know, Mexican American, Latino American and stuff like that, that's what it is. That's what they're scared of. So, like I said, the Kavanaugh situation, if that situation, oh man, that old, I don't think I wasn't on the show. Man, that old, what's his name, Lindsey Graham? He looked like
South Carolina's own Lindsey Graham. For re-election.
Trash.
2022, trash. I think. Y'all gotta vote him out, South Caryalona.
What is that other one?
South Carolina, y'all gotta get him out.
Right, you like the one over the committee. He need to be in regular news. Chuck Grassley, that old ass honorary man. I was like, look at this old honorary man up here, looking like Mr. What's his name from what's the show? What's that movie? When that little boy was always getting into stuff. Dennis, what was the Dennis the Menace? He looked like that old man.
Tucker actually like that man in Dennis the Menace. That's what he looked like. He looked like that. He acted like that old man too. Yes, I forgot. I was trying to think of the character name. That's why I was trying. I messed up the joke because I was trying to think of his name. Okay, that movie's so old, I forgot it. But he looked like that man, and he acted like that man in Dennis the Menace, the one that was. But yeah, we gonna move on to Ragged News. Another Caucasian person in the business of not minding their business in Caucasian news of Caucasian people that don't mind their business is a woman in Missouri, Caucasian woman in Missouri, was trying to stop a black man from entering a luxury apartment in Missouri because she felt threatened, quotation marks around that, from his presence. Like I said before, it's just another Caucasian person in the news that don't mind their business. I guess you can't go to your apartment while black. Just add that onto the list of the things that we can't do.
We can't
go swimming, we can't barbecue, we can't sell lemonade. Mm.
Nope.
A water. Park. Shout out to JB Rock, or Jalen, I think that's his name on the email. They always email from Chicago. When I kept telling that story about that old Caucasian man that wouldn't let me go back into Starbucks because he was trying to make me move my car, he was going to call the police, he called it parking while black. Shout out to him for that. That was funny.
Yeah, no, it's real.
Parking
while
black. Can't do nothing. And I told you, I was minding my business. It was just like the most regular thing you could do. I went out to my car to get my charger, and I had already ordered my drink. I was going back in there to get my charger and go back. And as soon as, like, that's the first sentence he said. He told me to move my car, and he's going to call the police. That's what he said to me. I was like, and this is like a couple months after the election of Trump. I was like, wow, that's what it is.
I'm saying it is exactly that. Like, and I think that
minding my damn business. That's all I was doing was minding my business.
The media has a way of making it seem like these incidents are isolated. No, I live in a luxury building in the middle of downtown Brooklyn, New York. Every time I come in here, I get looks from people who are not black, from white people. Who see a black man coming into this building? Sometimes I have my hoodie on, I got my sneakers on, you know, a fitted or a baseball cap, and I come in and I get these strange looks, and I feel the pressure myself that I got to take my keys out because especially if I got groceries, because they think I'm a delivery man or they think somehow I got in. Trust me, this is real, y'all. Like, we are. I don't even want to say that we are now being attacked or discriminated against because it's always been that, but it is coming to light more and more that it's happening. And even though we've known that it's happened and we know that it's happening and we feel the pressure to make them feel more comfortable, like I do every time I walk into my building and I walk past the concierge and he doesn't stop me, but he stops some white person, or I get on the elevator and I feel the need to take my keys out to make them feel more safe that, oh no, he actually lives here. He has a key fob for, you know, his door, his building. Like, we gotta stop. Like, she was dead wrong, and I'm glad he filmed it. And even now it's come out that apparently her husband is like biracial or black or something, and she's using that as an excuse to say.
Man, those are the most racist people.
Absolutely not.
Black spouses.
Those are the most, let me tell you something, because what they do, it's like when you have a litter of puppies, and you got a sickly puppy, and you love on that sickly puppy because it's sickly. But in all honesty, that's not the one you want. That's what these people do. They find a black person or a minority, an Asian person, a Hispanic person, a Latino person, and they use that as their excuse. I have a black friend. My husband's black, or my brother is gay, or my sister is Asian. My sister-in-law, my nephew is Latino, and they use that as their excuse as to why they cannot be racist, or as to why that what we saw was somehow misconstrued. No, we got it right the first time. We saw you for who you were, and I'm glad that these incidents are getting captured on film. I'm so glad because it's time. It's time. It's been too long.
Y'all got anything to say on it? I got one more thing. Will's gone. I'm gonna try to say it while he's gone. But go ahead, Whitney or Haley.
I feel E.B. on that, because I catch myself when I'm out just in certain mm-hmm. places, like trying to scope like areas out. Like even today when me and Haley took out our little sister to the gathering place, this place here in Tulsa, and I was just like, I don't know. I guess I realized like that I'd be carrying that on me. Like I'd just be waiting on somebody to try it, and it's really, yep. it's uncomfortable for me, and like it gives me anxiety because I'm like, I shouldn't really be thinking like that, and I have to, you know, kind of push it to the back of my mind and be like, nah, you know, nothing's gonna happen. It's gonna be a good day.
The funky bitch in the face. That's what you be thinking.
I'm saying I really don't, and like my concern too is that like I'm the big sister, so, and I've always felt that. Like I know I heard what you said, but
you call her a hunky bitch. That's what you say. You call
I did no. I don't say that. But I wish somebody would. Whoever it is, like, don't try it. But it's just, I don't know, I hate that feeling, and I be trying to shake it, but every time I see, like, one of those incidences, I'm like, see, like, they just won't, people won't let you live, and then I'm gonna be wrong when I punch somebody in the throat because
right,
they tell
exactly.
me I can't be somewhere, yeah. but I'm gonna go to jail.
Right.
Like, but you provoking me. Like, everybody just chill out. Just let us
right.
live. Like,
Haley,
just let
Haley.
Us live.
Right.
Yeah.
Haley,
how do you handle the hunky bitches that you think you
try? Wow.
That's
wow.
How do you handle the hunky bitches?
Let's see.
That's my fourth curse word. I'm trying to get
them
out there. I got five more.
I handle them the way that they present themselves. So however that is, however they show up, I make sure I match that. Because I'm not here for the
game. I heard your savvy heathen talk. You said something about, what is it, Caucasian man? You said,
yo.
What up?
Basically,
sorry,
yes,
y'all listening.
Like,
I'm kind of talking loud. I'm like,
yep.
Yes, ridiculous. Like I can't cross the street in my car. The light is green, but you own the entire street because you're a white man. Like, yeah, it blows my mind. Like the
man, Haley, I be talking about that all the time about Caucasian. Oh, like my brakes, like my brakes is 100%. Like these brakes ain't 100%, Jack. How many of you listen? You need to make eye contact with me
yeah.
Before you cross the street. If you don't make eye contact with me and notice that I'm there, I'm going to keep going. And sometimes I just do it just because you ain't looking. I remember one guy threw his hands up. I was like, I wish you would. I will get out this car. I was like, don't try me today because I'm in the mood. Don't do it.
Right.
He put his hands up like he was going to say. I was like, I wish you would say something. Say something so I'll roll the window down so I can hear. You better pay attention where you're going. You are not invisible out here. They act like they got invisible dudes. And it's all, I'm telling you. Every person in America, if you go to a grocery store, just not, like, you know how you be trying to be courteous to people and let them go, and they just be assuming everybody gonna do that. So the next time you're in the grocery store, just when you see a Caucasian person coming, just, don't move over the way for them. Just see what they do. They gonna run into you about 17 times, and you gonna hear, I'm
right.
sorry, about 37 times before you leave. Just do it. Just, it's just stuff I've observed in the grocery store. Just do that. And it's mostly Caucasian women
you
that I
lucky
see.
If you hear, I'm sorry, they don't say that. They don't say,
oh,
sorry.
No.
They don't say, excuse
they,
me.
I'm sorry, excuse me. Can I get by? Oh, my bad, I didn't mean to bump you. None
right.
of that. Like,
nothing,
you see me
right.
just like I see you. Like, bump me again.
Mm-hmm.
I already told you about that Caucasian woman in the grocery store that almost ran over my foot and didn't say nothing. All I saw was her wide back going by. I was like, all right, you old wide back. I was like, I hope you slip on a patch of ice and go outside and break your and tear your ACLs.
Wow.
That's
yeah.
why I went on the whole
ACL.
Thing because you made me mad. I was
yeah.
like, all I saw was her wide back going away. She didn't say, listen, I can't say what I want to now because Will came back on the line. But
women, wait.
Will is back, and we're going to move on to the Ratchet News now.
Yeah.
So I won't get in trouble. Yeah. I think I used
uh-huh.
about 5
uh-huh. I really want to hear, I really want to hear what you have to say.
What you talking about? So we go to break so we can finish the topic. What are you talking about? I was actually good. I don't know what you're talking about. We just moved
uh-huh.
on.
Uh-huh. Okay. No, I was
okay.
listening. Because I was away
okay,
from the
okay.
mic, I was listening to the, yep, I listened. But I do have a comment. I do have a comment. All right. No, seriously.
Sorry.
You know, when I go out shopping and like I go to a high end clothing store or something like that, I want somebody to follow me. I'm just waiting for somebody to follow me.
We're trying to collect the check.
Are you damn right.
He's trying to collect the check in Nostrum.
You doggone. Hey, look here. We got to stay on the air. I've got to get money any way we can get it. All right. And so, but seriously,
hilarious.
No, I want somebody to follow me, please.
No, you remind me of that black woman that she was taping herself on Instagram of her walking through at her job. And it was like a towel in the roof that fell down, and she was like looking up at it. She put the camera up, and then she put the camera down at the where it fell at, and then she showed herself falling on the ground. She was like, "I just made a pay." She was like, "This is God's blessing," or something. She said it was funny. Oh, God, laughing. That was so funny. Oh my God! But we gonna move on. We're trying to get a come up out here in H&M and stuff like that. I think they already. They are receiving criticism, so that then you will get some money because they might pay y'all.
Yeah, absolutely. And one other thing.
Putting monkey hoodies on black children.
Oh, my God. Listen,
y'all. Oh, I don't know if y'all can hear this or not, but it's like random earthquakes happening, so I'm trying to watch myself. I'm around in the studio. It was just a random earthquake that just happened right now. And it keeps happening. Hold on, just a second. This is happening live on the radio.
No, that's it.
I'm trying to make sure nothing don't follow my head. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
No, it's a cheap white wine.
This whole room is look tasting. At
what's going on? It's a cheap white wine you drinking. Hey, just,
no.
Yeah. Uh huh.
This ain't no trip. I just got out of my high. I was like, wait, what's going on? I told y'all the random earthquakes happen because they do that. What's it called? Fracking. With the oil and stuff like that. And you can feel it in, Oklahoma is the biggest one with trying to get all that oil out of there. So you can feel it if you all the way, I think they said you can feel it all the way up to Missouri and Kansas and all the way down to Texas. I think in southern, and I'm in Texas. And so I'm like right at the border where you can feel it. And I'm like, man, what's going on right now?
Wow.
But yeah, it was just 3-4 shakes that just happened, but we're going to move on before. It won't be no show, or y'all will keep on going, but something fall on my head and I pass out of here. Nobody here to help me. But we're going to move on.
So
we ran out of time because we got to go to break and finish up the topic. The only thing else I had in regular news was Remy Ma. I don't know if y'all watched State of the Culture. It's just too much to go into it, but it's basically her response on the show State of the Culture. It's with her, Joe Budden, the rapper. I think he's I guess the internet, I don't know if he's a journalist or not, but his name is Jinx. I don't know if he's I've never heard of him. I guess he's popular in New York. Do you know who that is, Evie? I don't know who Jinx is, but I just heard of him on the show.
Now, you know good and damn well. I don't know nobody named no damn Jinx.
Oh, okay, so it's a co-host. He's actually pretty good on the show. I like his commentary. He's pretty logical. What's her name? Scotty Beam. She's also, I guess, a journalist, or she does podcasts as well. But they're all four of them together, Remy Ma, Joe Budden, Scotty Beam, and Jinx, do a show on Diddy's Revolt TV called State of the Culture. I watched I think I'm behind a couple of episodes. I haven't had time to because I was on vacation, and so they've had like two episodes since then. But I just saw this one with Remy Ma. They were talking about the N-word. I don't know what was it referencing? I got to look back, but I just thought it was trash. I just saw her whole explanation for the N-word, and basically she was just saying that if you want people, I know some of y'all might agree with it that's listening in, but my thing is this, Caucasian people get in an uproar about other, or sometimes they do, about other people's cultures and how they talk to each other, except for when it comes to black people, because they always want to be us. She was saying that the N-word basically saying that if you want other people, the races to start respecting, that we need to drop saying the N-word, or she basically said she don't get mad at, black people for saying the N-word.
Because we use it.
And I'm like, that's the stupidest logic in the world. Because every culture has their own thing. Like, oh, go ahead. What are you about to say?
No, I'm just going to say, here we are, and I'm about to use one of the curse words for tonight. She's a stupid bitch.
That she is, because that whole statement is trash. I don't even want to get into a whole detail of it, because I know people are going to argue. But I was just saying, her whole statement regarding that word is trash, because everybody has it. The Mexicans have their own in terms of endearment that Caucasian people, the Europeans, the Anglo-Saxons created,
and made it for negative and turned it to a positive. I'm not going to say it because that's not my culture, and I don't disrespect and say words. But y'all know the people in the Latino community know what they words that they use for terms of endearment, as well as Asian people, certain in Chinese cultures and stuff like that. They all have their own sayings and words. And even Jewish people have their own words.
Everybody has their own.
Everybody has their own thing, but it's only a big deal because of black people.
Hate.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, like, I'm agreeing. Like, they're all, everybody.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, no, no. I was just saying.
Like, that
right.
were originally meant to be derogative and negative, but that we, as people of color of subcultures, have turned around to be either terms or of endearment or just, like, our everyday lingo. But, it, like you said, it's only an issue with us as black people because I feel that we, a lot of times, still suffer from this really detrimental mentality of what the white folks gonna think or what master gonna say if we do this or who gonna be watching or who gonna be looking. There's no reason that you should ever think it's okay for anyone who is not black to go around using the N-word or to say that, well, they're using it because we're using it. No, that's stupid. That's totally stupid. There are lots of things that I don't say. Even though, like you said, Q-Lynn, people of different ethnicities or races have adopted as their own, but I'm not going to say it because I recognize the implications of the word. So there's no reason that any black person should say, oh, well, if we're going to say the N-word, then everybody can say the N-word, or you can't get mad at a white person for saying it. That's stupid. You're in the, what's it called? The lost place? The hidden place?
Sunken place.
Get out.
Sunken place.
You're in the sunken place, and oh, I can't say it because I already used my one curse word, so I'm gonna be quiet.
No, you got three more.
You can have mine. Go ahead, get it out.
That means Q-Lynn has none left.
Technically, I said bitch. I said I wanted 5 MFers, so technically that don't count as my curse word. Now I think of it, because I just said bitch, and that ain't really a cuss word like that.
Q-Lynn, you've been cussing throughout the show.
It's not.
Wait,
it's like, about a female
you
dog.
It's really not.
Definition. So technically that wasn't a dog. I was kind of calling the woman a dog, so because she is, but that's a whole other thing.
I mean, it's just stupid. Like, your logic makes zero sense. And
you
I'm not
get hit up,
like,
though.
Oh, no, you're wrong, but you're wrong.
She's been getting in trouble on that show for the past 2 weeks now because she said something else that was controversy, something about child support, and she got everybody in the uproar about it. So she's
okay,
definitely
you
been
know
problematic
what? This
on that
thing,
show.
Though. Like, I think you have to pick and choose your battles and pick and choose what you want to be passionate and vocal about. For a rapper like Remy Ma, who has made her career off of calling women bees and calling black men and people in general the N-word, you can't now say, oh, don't use that word. It's just like, it's just like Bill Cosby, who used the N-word heavily during the beginning of his career and then all of a sudden wanted to turn around and say, oh, no, we can't use this word. You don't get to do that now that you've rose to fame and you've made millions or you've somehow reached a level of prominence that most people won't reach by using the very words that you're now telling people not to use. You don't have that right. And you should probably, oh, I can't say that either. You just don't have that right. Damn it, man.
Right. I know, right? It's hard. Oh, I got that comment. It keeps coming back every time. I keep getting PTSD of what you said last week. You also said I use up all these cuss words, and you use shit like 17 times. First of all, cuss that much. I use it sporadically in my vocabulary.
What?
So I take offense to that because
what?
I don't cuss that much on this show, on this damn
because
show.
I realized that we reached the end of the show, and I was like, ain't nobody cussed the whole show. I was like, nah, I gotta make sure that the spirit of Q-Lynn slanging and slaying
Lord
green
Jesus.
Is in the building.
Lord Jesus. Yeah, it was relatively clean.
That's not my name, slinging. Okay, Nicholas.
It was.
Don't be calling slinging and slaying. That picture's disrespect.
Hey.
Keep going back to that.
Slinging and slaying.
Man, we ain't got a thing. I was going to play the rest of these songs, but we ran out of time.
Oh, we got time for one.
Dan Hunt feeling song, and then come back, and then we'll end with Sade.
What.
Dang, I was wanting to play that Trina Brashard song.
Well, let's do it.
I guess you can play it after that.
Man. Oh, we'll be right back. Oh, this crazy show. Soul Savage is on the buzz. Hey, welcome back to the Soul Savage Show and our host, the lovely and talented, nothing short of genius, Q Lynn Green.
Laying it on thick. That was a good one.
I know, huh?
Okay, Will Sugar Brown.
Or talk what?
On Harlem Nights studio bus. That was a good joke, EB, when you said the buzz in there stand for, I mean, the W in studio W buzz stand for wine. That was hilarious.
I didn't think of that. Pino, baby.
That's hilarious. Pino Grigio.
Pino Grigio.
Pino Grigio.
That's right. Only corks, no cap.
What? Cork. He said Pino, baby. He sounds like, What was her name? Anna Nicole Smith. When she was like trim spa baby.
Hilarious. She was high on coke though. Are you saying he doing more than Pinot Grigio?
Hey,
is that a coke reference as
not
well?
Listen,
you throwing shots because you've done cocaine.
Listen, I'm not telling the listeners how you and Will hooked up and met. I'm
man, you know what? You know what? Okay. You got your lawsuits pending with you for illegal Plan B pills.
I'm just saying
you need to keep collecting all the nickels. You need to spend the nickels that you made at the strip club.
Hey, forget the nickels, Q-Lan.
You got over $47.20 worth of nickels you need to be spending.
Q-Lan, forget the nickels. EB has millions of followers now. We can collect.
I should have known then when he started with that Mary J. Blige versus Faith Evans that he was going to ensue on the slander.
Oh, man.
But, man, we are out of time. We gotta kind of talk about this topic, vacationing, man. Y'all making me lose my train of thought. Oh, we got to cap off savvy news. We didn't even do any savvy news. Have y'all seen, before we even get started, I know you had it caught up on season one of Black Lightning, Whitney and Haley. But Whitney,
because
we talked about this months ago, because you had months to prepare for this. Whitney, have you seen season two of Black? I mean, have you caught up on season one of Black Lightning yet? If you say no,
I have not.
See that? That's what I'm saying, man. You had months to prepare for this. We talked about this all
the time. I caught up on the other shows. Like, dang, y'all know I had like 7 years worth of shows to catch up on.
I told you to fit this in there. See that? And you probably ain't caught up on The Shy yet. We told you to talk about that. You ain't talking about it. See? I was just going to say Black Lightning is back, season two. I think it's on episode two or three. I forgot which one.
Yeah, three, I think.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's good already. I ain't going to give any spoilers to the show because we ain't got time. Well, for one, because we ain't got time to. That's why I ain't giving no spoilers. But we're going to move on. I was talking about The Neighborhood. That's a great show. Y'all need to check it out on CBS. Cedric the Entertainer and Tashina Arnold. Starring The Neighborhood is freaking hilarious. It's a great show. It comes on Monday nights, I think, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Check it on your local channel, on your CBS. Have it at, you know, East Coast time or West Coast or Midwest time. Just check it on your cable channel on CBS. And it comes on Monday nights. Just be on the lookout for it. And then also I put it in there. We don't have time. I only had two other things. It was just the AMAs about Aretha Franklin tribute. I thought it was pretty good. It was mostly a gospel tribute. It was okay. It was pretty good. They had CeCe Winans and Donnie McClurkin, the Mean Mary and Nice Mary on. That's what the internet called them, the Mean Mary. And mostly the Mean Mary. It's just hilarious.
Who called them that?
I think his name is Michael Arsenault. He's a journalist in a
office.
I got to get him on the show. That is hilarious. He called him, well, he called her something else, but I forgot what it was. I gotta have him on the show to say, he's an author. He just had a book that came out. It's called I Can't Date Jesus. I'm gonna get him on the show so he talk about it. But yeah, that's all I had to talk about in Savvy News. And then also I actually had Steve Harvey in there. Ever since he grew that beard, he's just doing great things. He had actually a audience member had asked him a question. She stuttered real bad and he helped her with her stuttering because he stutters. No, that's serious. Like, I'm being dead serious. He helped her with her stuttering. That's not funny. It was a real good moment because I was getting teary-eyed watching it. It was a good moment.
I feel sorry for the sister.
Man, he actually helped her though because he used to stutter. He used to stutter real bad and he was giving her some great tips. And she was like so emotional about it because she's all, and I didn't know that he's saying that it's curable and he was giving us some really good insight that I didn't
stuttering?
Even know about.
No, it is.
About stuttering.
I can't say that. Stuttering is, it's just a speech impediment.
He said it wasn't an impediment. That's what he said. He said it was a speech. He said it wasn't a speech. He said it's all in your head. And he actually helped her, like, because he said that the experts don't know what they're talking about. And he's saying people that don't experience stuttering, they don't know it's mostly the anxiety. He said it's mostly the anxiety of people looking at them and anticipating them getting some of stuttering. That's what makes them stutter. And so they
like
said,
the
he basically said eye contact. No, no, I'm trying to be serious. And you over here being ridiculous. He basically said that the eye contact brings on the anxiety, and he helped her. Oh my God! Can we get through this? We only got like no minutes at all. Okay, before we go, since he wants to, since we ain't gonna mess up the levity, where do y'all like vacation at so we can wrap up the show?
I just want to say, like Queen.
Vacation?
Queen Q Lynn. Queen Q Lynn. You have extended time because we just adore you and we just wanted you back so badly. So.
I did this. The Q stands for Queen.
I did this for you last week, Q, and I was like, you know what? When you come back, we need extended time.
What?
We need to hear our queen speak on everything that she done been through in the past 2 weeks. We know she done.
You know what? You know what, EB, that's so kind of generous, because that whole 2 hours of that last show of you accusing me of being a pimp and a drug dealer and a sexual assaulter and also the accusations of infidelity when I told you I was kind of faithful out here. As many times I said I was kind of faithful, you still accuse me of being infidel. Uh-huh. And all that, when I clearly explained that I'm kind of faithful out here.
Okay.
And so, it's just discredit of this.
Q-Lan, can I say something? Can I say
so
something
thank
to Whitney?
Q-Lan,
may I say something to Whitney? Whitney, mm-hmm. And I want Q-Lan and Evie listening. I'm going to try to find out who's going to pay me the most money. Because I know the real truth, Q-Lan. Evie? You and Q Lynn, you guys need to have a conversation after this show, Ray. I'm gonna give up the truth now, because I'm hearing two different stories. EB.
I'm not trying to be held, I'm not trying to hold the people up, on there, so I don't know who's gonna pay you. It's probably gonna be EB from his coin jar, if he got a bus that up.
Not my coin.
He got it made out, he actually got the first made, bullet whiskey jar. He put his loose change in the empty whiskey bottle.
No.
You might gonna have to split that 47 cents and 47
dollars and 70 cents. It's gonna take more than that. I like high end Pinot Grigio.
I'm telling you, got to get out of whiskey jar. That's all.
Well, no, he's gonna have to come up with more than that.
And you get residue, and you also get residue of the bourbon on there. So
no, and you know what? Q-Lan.
Q-Lan might be able to sell bourbon coins or something. It might be.
EB. EB lives in a penthouse. He can afford it. So, that's exactly right. Okay,
glad you ain't asking me for money. That's all I was.
Well, I'm just telling you.
Oh, man. So I got to be put up there. Okay. I see what this is.
Man, we got to get to this vacation topic before we write, because we already ran out of time. We got to wrap it up with vacation. What do y'all like doing on vacation? What is the plan? What is the first thing you like doing? Do you like to settle in into the hotel room or wherever you're staying at and get a good view? Do you like, What's the plan? Are you a tourist, or do you like touring if you're going to out of country or a different state of a different culture region? Do you like observing the scenery and trying to see what they do in that city or state or whatever they do there? Are you that kind of person, or are you just the one that just likes to plan, okay, we're going to go to dinner, we're going to go somewhere like a museum or something
I ain't planning a damn thing. I'm gonna go out there and just have some fun. I like music, concerts, and then gambling right now and in the future on EB's money.
Yeah, you said in the future. Mm. I heard somebody say they was gambling somewhere and
I'm gonna gamble.
Gamble the way I do. I remember I played, my aunt gave me some money to gamble with. She gave me like a few 20s to gamble with, and I won. I think I lost all of it and won like 75. Wait, no, I actually won like $75. Ooh. I thought that was a lot, and I stopped. And I lost it in my mind, I was like, it wasn't my money to begin with anyway, so I was like, ain't no big deal.
Damn. That's not
my
right.
She's like, give out 20s or something. I remember my other aunt, she's just keeping them. She wasn't gambling. She was like, I gave it to you to play with. She was like, nah. She was like, I could find something else to do with it. She stopped giving her
20s. That's me. I'm that person.
I thought that was funny. But yeah, I understand how y'all put hundreds of dollars. I ain't gonna tell no personal stories in there, even though I can't. I don't understand how people put thousands of dollars in. I know somebody that won a lot of money, like over $30,000, and they lost it all that night. I was like, what is going on? Like, how do you lose $30,000? If you give me $30,000 right now, I could flip that with it. Now, let me not say that, because Evie going to take it as
Evie.
I was talking about more about it.
Evie, don't make it happen.
I was like, I was going to put it in some Nike stock. That's what I was talking about. I'm trying I'm talking about stocks and bonds, man. Stocks and investments.
This is too good. Stocks and investments.
That's BS. Listeners, don't listen to nothing he's saying. I do not sell drugs, okay? First off, I am not that loyal of a gangster girlfriend. Because if I get caught, I'm telling on everybody, okay? You don't need no 48 hours to find me. You can find me within 12 minutes, okay? Ain't going to be no 48 hours to find me. I'm going to tell you what Tyrone and Lou and them did. I'm going to tell you everything, okay? Just put me right there. I'm going to be out within 12 minutes. You ain't got to worry about me telling.
Oh my God!
Being a criminal or drug dealer, because I'm telling them, because I am not just in a criminal life.
Okay, slinging and swinging.
I ain't no slinging and swinging. Listen, you call me that one more time. I'm getting offended because I don't cheat. He said the swinging part because he said I was a swinger because I cheat and stuff. Listen, actually, I should tell y'all a story about that. About somebody talking to be a swinger. 10 or 11 years ago. Shut up, BB. That's all I was talking about. It was a guy that I was going with, like we weren't official, like we were just seeing each other, like we were just doing whatever, and we was hanging out at a spot, and it was two married people, they thought we were married, and they was wanting us to swing. Now, if I had the mind state I have now, I probably would have did it back then, but back then, I was like, worried about, like, church people judging me and stuff like that, but I probably would have did it.
Wow.
So I got more.
What's going on? I don't think I heard that right. I didn't hear the whole thing. I couldn't hear it right.
Listen, Whitney, you cut me off.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we got to hear all of this.
Listen, I said I'm more sexually advanced now. It was as high as it was back then. That's all I was trying to say. Listen, I went to Santa Barbara.
Oh boy.
California. I didn't go. Listen, all these allegations. I'm trying to give y'all the real. Listen, we didn't move all these vacations. We started talking about vacation. I was just saying.
Yeah, we are talking about vacation.
If I would have been propositioned with the mind frame I had now, I probably would have did it back then. I'm just saying I'm more sexually open.
You was on a vacation.
No, I did not do that. I don't do it. I'm too old for stuff like that.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm too old for it. I can't do it.
Oh, this is too good.
It's like me hanging out. Listen, okay, vacation time. Y'all said, what do y'all like doing? Do y'all like, if you're with, do you like traveling with a group of people or just one person? Do you like traveling by yourself? What kind of travels are you? Evie, do you like traveling by yourself?
Let's get back to you. Q-Lane.
What do you want to know? You want to know who I was with on my trip? Listen, I'm not telling. This is why I ain't posting no pictures or nothing, because first off, the people I was with were music industry professionals, and so I can't, they can't be out being, because we were doing a bunch of, we had a good time. We were drinking, we were having fun. We all hang out and the guy was with, we like drinking and having fun at nice restaurants and partaking in the area, but go ahead. Y'all keep turning the conversation back to me. Oh my God. Really, go ahead. Okay, we got five minutes left, folks.
One question about your vacation, Q-Lynn. Do you remember your inmate number or
man, listen here. Do you remember how many nickels you collected on Saturday night when you got there stripping? that you had since 1988. Used to come out in your Superman underwear from Injustice League, 1992 underwear.
I'll do a trick.
You remember them draws?
Trust me.
Got your chest hairs popping. He had them. What should we call it? The dude from New Jack City.
Alan
Payne. He had some Alan Payne chest hairs popping.
Yeah.
What do y'all like doing? Listen, we're talking about vacations. Do y'all want to know what I did on my vacation? Seriously, because I'll tell y'all.
Yes, we want to know about your
vacation. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
I went to Santa Barbara. I went to Santa Barbara for 2 weeks. The last time I went with my friends, a group of friends, we went. And at the time, the guy I'm with now, I didn't know him. I actually met him on this trip. And this time, we all went as a group together. I guess it's like an annual thing we did. We haven't been in a couple years. We went to Santa Barbara. We stayed at the Canary Hotel last time, but this time we went somewhere different, but closer to the ocean. The Canary's not really that close to the ocean like this one is, and so we were closer to the ocean. It was more like a vista view. We stayed at the Belmont. It was real nice. We stayed in a really nice hotel room. It was real good. The service, they had a spa. They had gym equipment and stuff like that, but it was a lot of stuff to do, and they had nice restaurants around there. They had a Brazilian restaurant close by, and it's one that was more New York based. They said it was like 21 or something. I don't know if that's where. I think it's in Brooklyn. Have you heard of that, EB? In Brooklyn, 21.
I don't think so, but I'm gonna look it up now.
But yeah, it was nice. It was a real nice upscale restaurant, like 4-course meal and all that stuff. It was like a dress requirement and stuff like, well, mostly for the men. It wasn't necessarily, I think you could come in there with Tim's on if you you could come in there with tennis shoes and stuff like that. You had to dress up, I mean, wear a blazer and stuff like that.
All this New York slander tonight.
No, I was just saying, if you want, like, you can't come in there and dress any kind of way, you can't wear tennis shoes and stuff like that. It's a dress requirement and stuff like that. And then we went to, it was different Italian restaurants, and it's a really, Santa Barbara is really nice and multicultural. Like, there's different, like, you see a different Latino community, Asian community. It's really nice people in Santa Barbara, and it's real nice. I'm mad we stayed in hotels where there's weddings and stuff going on, because it definitely had that vibe to it. And I'm like, I ain't trying to get none of them energies right now. But it was definitely that kind of atmosphere. But it's still nice, though. But I'll just say, people, before we wrap up the show, I think you should spend some money. If you got a little money, save it to vacation and just go. Like, you ain't got to go out of the country all the time. Like, if you don't have money for London right now or passport, just go like Chicago. Chicago got nice hotels. California, LA got nice spots and stuff like that. And, New York has some good stuff. So, but yeah, that's it. Y'all got a savvy heathen talk to wrap up the show. What y'all got to say? Go ahead and say it.
Yeah. Grab them by the balls, baby.
That was my move for 2 weeks, actually.
What?
What?
I'm not trying to hear that.
My bad.
Wow.
My bad.
Wow.
The white wine took over like it does the wheel, the Pinot Grigio. I mean to say.
No.
Wow.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
A lot of activities going on. I didn't mean to say that.
Yes, you did. You're not only was slinging and swinging, you do a little grabbing too, weren't you?
Well, play the shot at
you. Oh, my God.
You said what?
Get out.
What? I missed that completely.
No, I said.
There we go. Play that.
No, I said, not only were you doing a little slinging and swinging, you were doing a little grabbing too, weren't you?
Listen, grabbing and all kind of stuff going on. Y'all got some of these grown folk activities in there. Y'all wouldn't be so tense and hostile with me.
Oh.
Y'all get the energy. Listen, these Sade vibes keep giving y'all the end of the show. Thank y'all for tuning to Soul Savvy Radio. Y'all take these Sade tunes with you and get some vacation vibes in there with y'all.
Yeah.
And, like TV said, grab consensual balls, not sexual salt balls.
Yes, consensual matters.
Sexual balls for people that like you and are interested.
I think that's
we out, y'all. Soul Savvy Radio. Every Saturday, 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific.
Oh,
we out,
my
y'all.
Goodness.
We be back next week. And Lee Trouble coming on next week, y'all. We be back.
Man, oh, man. You've been listening to the Soul Savvy Show here on Studio W The Buzz. Coming up right now. All right. Mr. Melody. Arthur Shaw Jr. He's going to bring his smooth jazz vintage. Going back to Albert Collins, B.B. King, and then some blues. All right, let's get it.